Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus. Dan Dunn is going to join us. We'll test all the different vodkas out and we'll do some news as well. All right, Dan Dunn is here. He's, he's the booze expert. Comes in, have fun with this guy. Podcast, What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn. Dan gets some great polls. I got the next episode's the 200th episode.
Ooh.
Jason Momoa is coming up.
Ooh la la.
Joe Jonas is coming up. Walton Goggins.
I love Walton Goggins.
Walton's the best. He's the best.
Was I just watching him on Hateful Eight? God, that guy's good.
Vice principal. He's in everything. He's the best.
You want to hear a funny story about that? We went to a Christmas party a couple of years ago at Walton's house. And Hateful Eight had been out, you know, the year before. And he introduced me to Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Mm-hmm.
My girlfriend and I at the time, he introduces us to, and he has to go. So we're sitting there and she says, yeah, I heard you're Walton tells me you're friends with Kurt Russell. I said, yeah, I know him, yeah. And she said, and I said, yeah, no, they did the movie together. Kurt and Walton were in that movie, The Hateful Eight. You see it?
She was in it too.
She goes, I did see it.
Damn.
She goes, no, she says, I did see it. She goes, I think I got nominated for an Oscar for it. And I was like, oh, shit.
Wow.
This is
awkward.
That's when you need a stiff drink.
Yeah. Yeah, I just rewatched that movie. It's great. And it's not dusty.
No,
it's the opposite of a dust-based movie, which I hate dust in all cinema. So Dan is what? Jason Momoa? Have you talked to him yet?
I have not talked to him yet. I can't make the announcement. We know what my show is, What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn. So you can imagine why Jason Momoa is going to be talking to me, but I can't say anything about why he's going to be on. But let's just I'll wink at you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, he's dropping something.
He may be. There may be an alcohol in his future.
Yeah.
I can't say what it is,
mm-hmm.
but we're excited to
Aquaman
have
Aquaman vodka. Bro.
I can tell you Joe Jonas is going to be on. He has a sparkling sangria.
Mm-hmm.
Which, it's no mangria, but it's sparkling sangria. Yeah, he's going to be on.
Stay off our turf, Jonas.
Back up.
So what do you got for us today?
Okay, so today we're going to do vodka. And as Brian, I'm sure, knows, being the linguist that you are, vodka comes from the Slavic word for water, voda. That's where it comes from. Both Poland and Russia claim to have been the origin of vodka sometime around the 9th, 10th century. I don't know for sure who did it. If I were Poland, I'd keep my mouth shut. You don't want to be messing around with Putin these days.
Right.
Be careful how much you're claiming. Vodka is for sure the backbone of the spirits industry. In 2021 in the U.S. alone, there were 78 million cases of vodka sold in the United States, generating $7.3 billion in revenue.
That was to give just you an idea, at Chelsea Handler's house.
It is the number one by far. It's more than double the next vodka in terms of categories and sales. It's more than double the next category, which would be pre-mixed cocktails. And to give you an idea, you know, mezcal and tequila, big growing thing, they did about 22 million cases last year. Now,
a fraction
of that 78 million cases, one quarter of that were sold by two brands in the United States. You care to guess what they
are? Yes.
Smirnoff.
That's one of them. Second. That's second.
Oh, we're going that
direction? 9 million cases of Smirnoff places it second in the U.S. in 2021. Another brand sold in 11 million cases. 2021.
I don't know what
that is. Grakers or Popoff?
I got two guesses. It's either Seagram's or it's either Stolichnaya.
Nope.
No, I don't know.
America! America!
Well,
absolutely.
Not Tito's.
Tito's? Tito's is the number one.
On
not only vodka, it's the number one selling spirit
I should have guessed.
In all of America.
I was going to guess Tito's, but it's like felt so handcrafted, and I guess they like to keep it that way. But my first impulse is everywhere I go, I see Tito's. And people ask for Tito's all the time. They go, oh, give me a Tito's and soda, whatever. I always just say, give me a vodka, soda, whatever it is. I can't tell the difference.
That leads me to my question, Dan. I hope you'll answer this. I've long wondered, with a neutral spirit like vodka that has no flavor, I'm making air quotes, what distinguishes vodkas from each other?
Okay. Well, it's an interesting thing that you bring that up. So back in the day, they used to distill vodka one time, okay? And eventually, they started to figure out, well, if we distill it more and more, we can take out, quote unquote, impurities, also known as congeners. Okay. Once they did that, they found they were getting a cleaner, crisper vodka. And that sort of became the thing. Now, what's happening, and you're going to see this with some of the vodkas we have here today, the smaller vodkas, they're starting to bring it back and do. There was this push back in the day where you could make vodka taste like air, and then people wanted that. But now they kind of want those flavors back in
that
again.
Bite.
Those congeners, you leave them in, and you get they impart qualities to the vodkas, which we're going to get to and taste here. And hopefully that answered the question for you.
That's
but
perfect.
Part of that, too, is the kind of stills that they use. So they use a column still primarily to make vodka. What a column still does is it keeps the liquid constantly moving, and it's just taking things out and taking things out. Now you're starting to see some brands, including one of the ones we have here today, that are distilling in copper stills, copper pot stills, which are what we would traditionally associate with whiskey, and using that to just – bring the flavor back in, and whatever the starch is that you're using, have a little bit more of that flavor in there.
So follow up there. Potatoes, were they always used? And at what point did they stop being used? Are they still
used?
No,
they're still using. I mean, you can use – there's very few – in fact, there are virtually no rules for vodka. You know, we've talked about the rules for bourbon and whatnot. So with vodka, I think essentially the rule
is – you can't call yourself bourbon if you're not using an oak cask or whatever. And you can't call yourself champagne if you're not from this region.
That's right.
But there are no vodka rules.
It's got to be 40%. Alcohol, 80 proof.
Damn.
Right.
That's it in America. You can distill it from anything. You can make
rice,
it.
Rice, vodka, potato.
Do they
vodka.
Mess around with the proof on vodka? Because you'll see it move around quite a bit with beers. You see it move around with whiskeys. I don't see it move with vodka.
There's a couple or higher proof vodkas, but almost across the board, almost every vodka you're going to have is going to be 80 proof.
Yeah.
That's just the standard for the industry. So, yeah, that's what we got.
So what do we got?
Oh boy, all right. I got three vodkas here today. They're all just equally cool in their own right. And the first one we're going to start off with here is Castra Elyon. Castra Elyon, and I got toasts, by the way, for all the different countries that these. This is a
toast.
Look at you.
This is distilled from hand-picked olives, and from the I got to pronounce this Nafpakos region of Greece.
Sure.
Once the olives are picked. They're blended with a mix of grains, but the thing about it that they do is the water source, and again, Greek is not easy for me. The water source is Mount Taeidos. It's the highest peak in southern Greece. That's where they get their water from. They take the olives, and unlike the name, which is hard to pronounce, this vodka is super smooth, and you have it in front of you.
Is it the olive one or the plain?
Okay. Both. But first, let's try it neat. Now, what we want to do with this is we want to take three little tiny sips. Okay? We take one, let it get on your palate, take a second. Good.
Is this mine?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, man. Look at that thing. Look at
smooth.
That
yes,
thing.
Yes, sir.
You get that initial sweetness on there.
It's like corn.
Buttery, fruity thing going on. And then, okay. There's no additives, no non-GMO. This is not a flavored vodka. Some people think that because maybe it's not a – olives are the source, the base, the starch.
Yeah.
But
this is not the pop-off that we mixed in college.
No, this is delicious.
This is so good. And now I also have in front of you on ice – a little sort of makeshift martini on ice with olives. And I let the water, the ice dilute it a little bit in here. So give that a shot.
Now, I hate olives. I love olive oil. Hate the taste of olives. Love this vodka. But you put two giant big green olives in mine. So let's see what happens.
See what happens. Hold on.
So this is vodka, olive, and ice. But it's not – you didn't make a martini per se, right?
Well, I mean, some people call a martini – you know, you just pour 3 ounces of vodka and chill it and call it a martini. There's no vermouth in here. I didn't do that because it was an extra step. And Paul Sanguinetti, I guess, is
too lazy.
He must be two-timing me out with somebody else. The other thing about this, let's talk about this bottle.
That's a very unique bottle.
I mean, it's one of the coolest-looking bottles that we have.
I've seen this at the gym.
And if you want to get a custom bottle of Castro Elyon, you can. And guess who they sent one for?
No.
Look at that. Look at that, Grace. Look at that cool. Look at, it's really cool looking.
Yeah.
Like an old-timey medicine bottle.
Ceramic or I guess it's ceramic.
It's a gorgeous bottle.
It's very Greek.
That's the cool Brentwood wives like have all those water bottle styles.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
Trust me.
I like it on the rocks with a little bit of olives. That's probably the favorite way to enjoy it, but you can, as you can tell, you can drink this thing neat and it's great in cocktails. Do we know the toast in Greek?
Oh, yeah. No.
Come on. Opa?
No. Go for it.
Oh, did you say?
I said Opa.
That's one of them, but I think the one that they go with is Yamas.
Yeah.
Oh. Yamas. Okay, so Yamas, everybody.
Yamas.
Castro Elyon. Would have guessed how much this thing costs?
Is Yamas a group that's outside of Palestine?
No, with a Y. Oh, with a Y, no H. What's the price on this?
Seems pretty high-end.
55.
I would say like 80.
By judging by the bottle, I don't know if they all have the name Adam Carolla in front of them.
They should.
I feel like that's going to lower the value. I'd say, I don't know where you're leading us. I'll go 45.
Somebody got it on the head. Oh, right there.
All right.
Well, Brian, $55 a bottle. I mean, it's
a display piece.
But do you get it, though? You see that it doesn't taste like just a normal.
No, it's delicious.
It's got flavor to it, right?
You
get, you're getting the spice and everything on there. I mean, I think you're going to find that with all three of these vodkas, but this one's delicious.
This is very easy to drink with nothing else in it. Neat is the way to go.
Dan.
From Greece.
Oh. How'd you take the Phillies loss?
Oh, come on.
Well, at least he has alcohol in front of him.
What is this thing you're talking about?
Why would you do that?
We didn't lose. We just didn't. We finished in second out of 32 teams.
My family and I all went for cheesesteaks in your honor the other night.
We
did wit.
Where do you guys
Is there an undefeated team in the NFL? Oh, that's right. The
Philadelphia
Eagles.
I quickly
pivoted off this.
Where do you guys stand on the guys crowding the plate with the elbow armor on and not really getting out of the way of the fastball?
Buddy, as one who benefited
and that was the Astros
from
that.
Barry Bonds for many years, that's Bush League. That's JV.
I would say everyone's wearing the elbow protector. It's a hard shield now. It gets you – the non-protection tends to make you do everything to get out of the way of the ball.
Oh, yeah, this.
But when you got the shield on your elbow, it's easy to take your base. I'd like a modification of that rule.
What's that?
If you're going to crowd the plate and then no elbow armor for
Agreed.
You.
Totally
get away from the plate.
Or the elbow armor should have some sort of shocking mechanism in it.
Yes.
So it doesn't break your elbow, but if it hits the elbow thing, you get a shock.
Like cattle prod.
Like your nipples.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I like that.
Preach.
Well, let's keep talking about sports because I want to stay off politics. I have to give you my favorite. I just got a great – I always get a lot of backhanded compliments when I'm on here from Corolla fans, especially on Twitter. So I got one recently. The guy said because I posted one of my progressive thoughts, and he said, "Love what you do, man, but you're a fucking moron." Right? and so I don't ever want to engage in like getting a fight, but I'll try to be clever. So I wrote back and I said, "Well, hear me out here. I said, if you love what I do and I'm a fucking moron."
Yeah.
Then that at least makes you moron adjacent.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was clever. But as long as we don't talk about politics on here, I'm still not going to be okay.
Just going to talk about
Philly and we're going to win the Super Bowl. I will say that right now.
We have a really good team.
We have a really good team and I'm going.
And everyone else looks pretty hit and miss, pretty spotty. There's no sure bets in the NFL. Philly's the only one who's consistently bringing it.
And we got that juggernaut Washington coming up next, so we should beat them. And then we got Indianapolis, who just fired their coach.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be good. All right, next vodka. Double Cross Vodka. Let's raise it. And this one is I'm going to give you the name. I'm going to give you the toast, and you tell me where it's from.
Okay.
Nastrovia.
Russia.
No, Nastravia.
That's Ukraine.
Ukraine.
No. Slovakia.
Belarus.
Slovakia. This is made in
Ostrovia is also rough.
Double Cross is made in a mountain village in Slovakia. They've been making vodka there since the 13th century. This vodka, Double Cross, won double gold at the San Francisco World Spirits Competition. As we know, we've talked about that. I used to be a judge. It's the highest ranking you can get at America's most prestigious festival. Seven times distilled, seven times filtered. So this is a different approach than the other ones. As my dear departed grandpa used to say, it's purer than the Virgin Mary's coochie.
Oh.
Yes. That is
and I don't know that they'll be using that on their, any of their advertising campaigns. This is made with winter wheat. Okay. What does that mean? A state-grown winter wheat. A state-grown means they own the wheat. They control the quality of it. They grow it. They produce it. Winter wheat is just that. It's wheat that's produced. They grow it. They plant it in September. They harvest it in August. It tends to have a higher yield than spring-grown wheat, so a lot of it's economics. They just get more of it. But it also tends to be light, crisp, slightly sweet. It's very popular. Some of the other big winter wheat vodkas are Absolute, Kettle, Grey Goose, Stoli, Chopin, and, of course, Double Cross. What do you think of it?
This one has a little more of a bite than the first one.
Hmm.
Also smoother in a way. Like it's I can tell the what is it, seven times distilled or
seven
filtered?
Times distilled, seven times filtered.
Crazy.
But I'm also getting like that white pepper notes in there. I'm getting a little bit of that lemon zest going on.
It's this good. Is
definitely peppery.
It comes on at the end. The first as you start to sip it, you don't feel
damn
like
it. You can't even use that anymore, can you?
But
can't say that.
Yeah.
You forget where you are.
I know. Oh, I can say that.
You got your VR goggles?
Yeah, exactly.
Comes on at the – I don't use them anymore. I got locked out. No,
what?
I'm not joking. It – I forgot the – right. I don't want to go here, but I will very quickly. When you got the VR goggles, there was a pattern that you do with the things. It's like a pattern. That
Elon suspended them.
That's your password,
right.
Essentially.
Right.
And I didn't – I created it, and I don't remember. I was so excited to – jerk off. I was like, what pattern? Make a quick pattern.
Yeah.
And then I never had to use it again. And then a couple of months ago, it asked me to do the pattern again in order to log on. And I don't know the pattern.
Wasn't it just a quick up and down motion?
Girl.
So I have to reset it and all that. I don't feel like it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I'm with you.
We have a couple of good crack team here that could probably do it for you.
Does anybody want to dare touch those handles?
I tried to log on to Instagram yesterday because I did Sid Croft's show on
that was
Instagram.
Good. I watched it.
Oh, thanks. And I was like, I'm going to just get – once in a while, I announce I'm just going to be a normal, regular person. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to get Instagram. I'm just going to do it. And then I go online. I go to Instagram, you know, start an account. Yes, I will. And then it goes, it's got to be seven characters, one uppercase, and like one number or something.
Yeah.
And I go,
one special character.
Yeah, okay. All right. I'm going to do this. And I do it, and it's like, it comes back. Not tricky enough.
Yeah.
Not good
starts
enough
judging.
For us. And
yeah.
I'm like, isn't that kind of up to me?
Yeah.
And they're
me?
Like, no, you can try something again. And I'm like, I can't even do the most basic thing that every 11-year-old in the United States can do. I cannot perform that function. I can't do it. I was like, I want to make it easy. I want to be able to remember it. I don't really care. I'm just going to log on to talk to Sid Croft. Could not do it.
No.
Wouldn't
Corolla
let me.
1 wouldn't be accepted.
Not acceptable. And so I ended up having to use Sonny's phone.
Is that what you did it on?
Yes.
Oy.
Yes.
Is Sid Croft up on the latest
technology?
Oh,
my God. You'd think he wasn't 90 what?
I think he's 3. And then there was this screener password. We get screeners, and they give you the password to watch the screener. And we got one a couple of weeks ago, Chris. And I was like, I'm not even going to try. I'm never going to pull this off.
So whenever we get screeners,
I can't do that.
Whenever we get screeners, they send us a secret link and then just the password, and I send it to all the guys on the show. And, yeah, so this one, it's capital M, capital S, capital H, 72022, screener, all in lowercase, exclamation point, $, pound sign.
Yeah, it's just a copy.
By the time you put that in, the end credits are rolling.
And then here's the next one we got.
Oh my God. What the hell?
That's like Elon Musk's kid's name.
Yeah,
it's B percentage little carrot up at 7ES_44.
I could not pull this off.
No, that
there's
is
no. Yeah, there's, it's impossible. It's an impossibility.
I don't know where you find the carrot.
By the way, I brought a little. Our friends at Fresh Victor sent me some stuff.
All right.
We could mix in with these vodkas if you want.
I love them.
All right, yeah. I got. Here's what we got. I got cactus, pear, and pomegranate.
Delish.
New flavor, strawberry and lemon.
Ooh.
We got jalapeno and lime.
Always a crowd pleaser.
And pineapple and ginger root.
I want to try the new strawberry lemon.
Ace?
I'll try the lime with
jalapeno.
Jalapeno
and lime.
That's going to make me sweat.
Me
Brian,
too.
Cactus, pear, and pomegranate.
In the interest of not wasting, I'll have whatever's open.
Okay.
This, yeah, I got strawberry lemon.
Just if you want to do it in a cocktail, one of these vodkas. Double Cross, again, from Slovakia. What do we think the price is on the Double Cross?
I don't know. It's 7 times filtered.
Bottle looks pretty ordinary.
Yeah, we're looking at the bottle. It's nice.
It's a nice bottle. It's a traditional 750 mil bottle. It's got the cross on it. It's a double cross. Yeah.
It's an award winner.
This is a $38 bottle of vodka.
Ace?
31.
40.
$32.
Oh, wow. Ooh.
Yes, 32. I think all it's right. a delightful vodka for that. There, did you try it with the mixers?
That's Daniel. Delicious.
Yeah.
Speaking of these, what is the philosophy on mixing like these nice vodkas or just mixing them? Like, are they meant to be enjoyed as sort of, you know, respected straight, or are these just do as you
I mean,
want?
I love, you know, a good high-end vodka, which all of these are, I think are great. But let's face it, most people are drinking vodka in cocktails, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if you're taking a 25-year-old single malt scotch and mixing it with
Diet Coke.
Yeah, Diet Coke, you're you've gone wrong. You used to wet the bed as a child or something. But yeah, these are, I mean, vodka's made to be mixed.
Personally, I would just drink the Greek one the way it is. I think it is such a smooth, like, maybe it's because you said olives, but to me, like a little bit olive oily, it's just beautiful the way it is.
You've gotten over your olive.
Yeah, and I even took a couple bites of the blue cheese olive. It was not bad.
Oh. Okay. All right. Next
enjoyable.
Up. Next up, we have a vodka, and you can see this an interesting little package here.
It's
called
oil barrel.
Neft, N-E-F-T.
Love that.
This is a, it was started by a woman, female-owned brand, Gina.
All right.
You're the woman here.
Sister's doing it for themselves.
This is a 2-time double gold winner from the San Francisco World Spirits Competition, and in 2018, it won Best in Show. This was the number one vodka at the 2018 San Francisco World Spirits Awards. It's from Austria. It's made from old world non-GMO rye, mountain spring water, sourced from the Rhine River.
Oh, shit.
And this water's been filtered. I think you're going to get a nice, earthy, slightly sweet front minerality on it. Let's give it a shot.
Wait, what's our toast?
Come on, buddy.
I'm sorry. I'm losing. Oh, this one's easy. Austria. What are we going to do?
I don't know.
Prost?
Prost. Yeah. There we go. Very Prost. Nice. Brian, you can't stump Brian on this one.
You really can't.
He knows all the toast.
Ooh, that's
this
nice.
One, now, this one yeah, is made good. In a copper pot still. We talked about that earlier. Mm. And then it rests in a continuous still. So this is a process that you would normally associate with scotch or cognac to make neft. So it does about 2 to 3 times in the copper pot still. It's a different kind of vodka. And this is one that I would say drink it neat, room temperature. Right.
This has a little bit of sweetness for sure.
A little warm.
Mm.
This is lovely.
That's great that you say that. Oh. It's warm, but it doesn't burn, right?
No, not at all.
And that's the difference. Very smooth. Yeah, when you get the burn, it's like you're getting that too much of that ethanol going on. If you don't want this neat, you could do this with like a little Italian vermouth, a little bit of bitters in there, just put some ice on it. It's great. But also the viscosity on that, you're getting that like sort of velvety thing going on. Yeah, the pepper is from the rye. It's made from rye. Lemongrass, vanilla, caramel.
I love
this
one.
It strikes me they don't charge enough for this shit. I mean, when you hear about copper kettles and
growing.
Yeah, and we plant the seeds in the September and we harvest in August. And it's like, it's just
$22 a bottle.
Yeah, it's not enough.
Well, and honestly, like, probably the reason Castro Ilion is the most expensive of the ones is because that bottle is clearly, that's costing them some money. That's a ceramic bottle. It's costing money. This oil drum, now this is, it comes in an oil drum. You
literally,
can't
like a tiny little barrel.
Neft means oil or fuel in Slavic. And the woman who founded it, Ekaterina Kuzmina, family was in the oil business. So that's hence the oil can. But here's the thing. It's not a gimmick, so they're making this out of a proprietary blend of tin and aluminum, the can. It's got a vinyl filter inside. But in terms of sustainability, for people that matters to, you can ship two cases of this for every one case with glass because it's a lot smaller.
Oh, wow.
Fully recyclable. I think this is where the industry is headed. You know, they're going to be getting away from things that are – and the other big thing you don't think about, breakage.
Yeah.
No breakage. You don't have to worry about a pallet getting dropped.
Dentage.
I'm sure you've had that, Ace, with your stuff where stuff gets broken.
I used to work at the Flask Liquor on Ventura Boulevard with Sid, coincidentally. I think Sid and Marty. There was a Marty and there was Sid.
That's amazing.
They were super Jewish. They would they would do little Jewish things, you know. They would say, like, when I would leave, they'd go, take a cold soda. But they wouldn't say take a soda.
No,
they'd say take a cold soda.
It
was a big refrigerator. Sure. That's where you got the sodas.
Yeah.
But take a cold soda. I once had a hand truck with gin in it and toppled it over and busted a few of them on the ground. There was a very old lady who worked there who would call me boy. Who was the mother of
she didn't call
Marty.
You Tatala?
No,
boy
she
chick?
Was she was super mean
oh.
and she just floated around, called me boy.
Oh.
And so I have broken bottles. Yes.
Yeah. And I mean it costs, they break them, you bought them.
20-ish years ago, I'm more or less the beer industry went all, embraced the canning revolution as they called it for a lot of reasons. The less breakage, kept the beer fresher, I was told, easier to stack
remember
in
that,
the store.
Remember that phase though when they it was like they were trying to out-clever each other. There was the Vortex can.
Oh, yeah.
Because
with a little bit of air let in.
Because it comes out quicker.
God,
like, was this a problem not being able to
enough?
Drink fast enough? Yeah. And then you had like the swirly can.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the best one is the one that it turns blue.
Yeah.
To let you know when it's cold enough to drink it.
As cold as the Rockies.
Good news. It's still around.
Four idiots.
David Cross has the best bit about that, because that's how you know it's cold. And he goes, now, if I want to know if something's cold, I use the sense of touch. It has literally never failed me. It's a great bit.
It really is. Neft, what do we think this one goes for?
No, I have no. Yeah,
remember, best in show. It's San
Francisco.
Double gold. Best in show.
60.
Adam?
I'm basing it on the container. I'll go 44.
Yeah, you let slip that the other one was most expensive. So I'll go with, this is a $49 vodka.
$29.
Oh, what?
So it goes back to Ace's point. When you're making quality like this and the packaging, how do they make money?
You have to get
no
this
idea.
Vodka.
Well, you have, you have a stake. I mean, what are the margins like?
I don't make money.
Okay.
That's
to your
how
point.
You do it. The margins for most businesses are like, restaurants, like, I don't know, 6% or something like that. Like, it's really tight.
Yeah.
It's really close. I think the New World Order is you don't make any money and then you sell the company to Ryan Reynolds or something.
Exactly.
But you don't make you.
Yep.
Twitter doesn't turn a profit and then you get Elon Musk to give you $44 billion for this thing that never turned a profit.
Right.
I think that's the New World Order.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I mean, they must be doing something that we don't know about. I don't know. But I'll post all these. I'll post pictures of all of these on my at the Imbiber on Instagram if people want to know what we had today on the show.
Three solid offerings.
I care about people knowing what's out there.
Well, you care about not being bothered every second about what it is.
Well, then because then they go, oh, hey, I was listening to you on Corolla, and what was the name of those vodkas again?
Right.
Like, well, how fucking hard were you listening?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, post them.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gino Grad. Stuff face on TMZ. Joe Biden. Kamala. Beat news with Gino Grad. Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
All right.
No
throwing away the booze.
No. Once we finish these bottles, I'm going to put a flower in mine. This is an awesome
vase. It's
beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Really gorgeous. Well, I normally wouldn't start with this story, but since Dan's here.
I don't like to talk about myself, Gina.
Just this once, please.
I was so excited. My son got a flat. his bike, and that we could go do something together.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm not buying a new tube. I'm patching the tube. I I go, I'm old school.
Yeah.
Scuff it up, glue it up, pat, hold it underwater. See where the little bubble comes from.
Sure.
You know, circle it, scuff it up, like pop it, like doing something tactile, something real, something together, like in the garage.
With a beginning, middle, and end.
Took 25 minutes. Like went to the bike store, got the patch. They have the stick-on ones now, but I got the glue-on one.
Of course you did.
Supposed to be better. And, we took care of business. It's kind of nice. And then Sonny kind of got it, and he kind of helped me.
Good.
And it's good to know stuff.
Be proud, but not too proud, as you realized when he changed a tire and you started quelling.
He didn't change. He just put air in a tire.
Oh, God.
And I was over the moon.
You know what? That's on you for being that excited about that.
I know. Well, it shows you where the bar is.
Well, since Dan's here, we're going to start with something we would never typically start with. Some microbiologists, I really want your take on this. Some microbiologists in Belgium believe they've improved the taste of beer by identifying and genetically modifying a gene that affects the flavor. And everyone possibly besides Dan will be surprised, I think, at what flavor that is. The researchers focused on a certain gene that presents a banana-like flavor, which is supposedly one of the most important flavors in beer as well as other alcoholic drinks. For many years, beer was brewed in open horizontal vats. However, the industry transitioned to these large closed vessels in the 70s because they're simpler to fill and clean and empty, allowing brewing in greater volumes. But the flavor takes a huge hit. These modern techniques produce lower quality beer. But now because they found this one teeny, teeny, tiny little isolated gene that puts the flavor back in and it's a banana flavor, they think it's going to improve the taste of these quote unquote low quality beers.
So this is for cheap beer. It's not for the craft.
Mass produced beer.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
have you heard that about banana before?
Well, I say this about banana. You always hear about banana flavor. Nothing really tastes like a banana except the banana, I think. You know,
well said.
The stuff they make in the lab. But I'm not a fan. Look, it's mass-produced beer, so I get why they need to, you know, figure out techniques and things that can get them there. I'm probably with Adam on this in that I like – here's a way to get rid of that. Here's a way to get that flavor back in. Make it the way you used to make it.
Right.
You know, make it – take that extra step. So – if you're drinking Bud Light or Budweiser, and that's fine, okay, maybe it'll make it taste a little bit better. I'm just not a fan of – you can make anything taste like anything, but then it's not real, right? I mean,
sure.
I like things to feel a little bit authentic. You know, someone could probably match the flavor of this vodka in a lab and make it in a lab, and you'd be like, all right, what's – but it's just not – you're not drinking stuff that didn't come. This came from real olives.
I think the guys who like Budweiser like Budweiser.
Yeah,
right. I don't think it's all about the
cheap. They're accustomed to the.
Are they give them out to the ball players? Sorry, Dan. When they celebrate in the locker, like Houston, and there was always a Budweiser. Must be sponsorships, right?
Yeah,
interesting.
I don't see a guy with a Sam Adams, you know, dumping it on another guy's head. It's Bud. It's like it's pretty much.
Well, what did they have when they won it last time? When Houston won it last time, did they worry about shocking him when they sprayed him with champagne? All the sensors he had on there
good.
To cheat. I still feel like they were cheating in some way.
It's funny that anyone celebrates the Astros at this point. I mean, that was pretty.
That little guy. What's his Altuve?
Yeah.
I just want to smack.
He didn't want to take off his jersey because he had a tattoo that he was shy.
No, his wife would get mad.
That's right, but about as shy. He was shy about tattoos.
Yeah,
his wife would get mad that he had sensors on. He was getting his nipple shocked. And here comes the slider.
Mm. It must be. It always seems to be Budweiser. So, or maybe it's the stadium beer that they use.
Budweiser put out like champagne style bottles for the locker room. So they actually have like the cork and everything too. Ooh. So they shake it up.
I remember years ago, I assume it was with you. We did, the drinking man's beer taste test. And if I remember correctly, because I never really had them or didn't remember, I think I liked Coors the best.
I don't remember.
I mean,
I don't either.
Does anyone remember?
Was I on the show? I don't know this one.
Not out of all the beer that exists, but out of the offerings we were given.
Doesn't it seem like Miller High? What's the champagne of beers?
Miller.
Didn't that seem like they missed an opportunity there with this?
Yeah, the champagne of beers.
If you're the champagne of beers, why are they not spraying that in the locker room?
I don't want to see the guys wearing goggles.
No.
Protection.
Sorry.
Man,
I'm on training wheels and goggles. It just go take the bath.
Get a cork in the eye, you're fine.
My favorite thing is when the person that's interviewing them gets it blasted in the face.
Yeah.
And they try to act like they're okay with it.
They're being waterboarded.
Yeah. And they, you know, they just, you can see the violence in their eyes.
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
Yeah, most of the guys, or not most of the guys, but it seems like a lot of the stars of the game were born in Cuba or something. So it's, you're using the translator, mm-hmm. and that's a slow answer. Yeah.
No good.
Yeah.
Well, let's bring it down a few notches. Some sad news. Troubled pop singer Aaron Carter found dead at his home in Lancaster, California on Saturday morning. He was 34 years old. According to TMZ, Carter was discovered after law enforcement officers responded to a call that a male had drowned in the bathtub at home, which we've heard before.
Yeah.
Whitney Houston and her daughter, I believe.
Yes.
The singer, who went through a series of rehab stints due to his issues with substance abuse, had a difficult last few years. He obtained restraining orders against his family members, charging that they were trying to harm him, and had a series of domestic abuse charges with his the mother of his infant son, Prince. Her name was Melanie. But, of course, I think we can all understand they were not trying to abuse him. They were trying to get him help.
Yeah.
Carter, who's the younger brother of Nick Carter from Backstreet Boys. TMZ, now we have a teeny bit more information. Even though I think it said on the way here that the coroner has deferred the cause. Yeah, the cause of what happened. TMZ reported that multiple cans of compressed air were found in his bathroom and bedroom, as well as prescription pills.
Oh.
What's a compressed air mean?
It gets you kind of high.
Like the whippets, right?
Yeah.
He
was probably trying to clean his keyboard.
Well, there is something called compressed air.
No, it is that. But I'm
like,
saying it's
like
the
Cool Whip.
He was trying to fix a flat.
Right.
Apparently, he was trying to fix a flat, and it went wrong, hideously wrong. If Ace would have been there, I could have helped him through it. Too soon?
I don't want to overdo it, but that propellant is the nitrous oxide or whatever. Whatever it is, that's what gets you high.
Right.
The compressed air didn't make. I didn't.
If you huff enough of it, I imagine it can't help.
Or maybe it knocked him out.
Well,
he drowned in the bathtub?
Technically, also reportedly found prescription pills as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they probably found those cartridges that they sell at Restaurant Supply.
Oh, for like whipped cream?
Yeah. Propellant. Yeah, that's probably what they've.
Whipped cream. The silent killer.
Seriously.
The heart disease.
Yeah, people would go into 7-Elevens and like huff those things and throw them down.
Right.
I was stupid. I was so high I tried it with Cool Whip, but that's just me.
Just eating a tub of it and seeing what happens?
Got a nose full of whipped cream.
I get so angry at people that buy dessert topping, you know? Yeah. It's like you look corn
non-dairy
oil.
Dessert topping.
It's like, would you just buy some fucking whipped cream
mix it up
for our pie? And then you get the number one stupidest answer, I like this stuff better.
Don't.
I like Log Cabin, Mrs. Butterworth with, you know, brown dye number 17 and fake flavor. I like it better than Trader Joe's.
The tapped from the tree maple syrup.
Maple syrup. Who are these people? You know who these people are? They're people who grew up on this shit and then can't get off it.
Yeah.
Like they just... This is what I ate. I ate fake American cheese when I was 9, and now I eat fake American cheese and Mrs. Butterworth.
I genuinely can't believe it's not butter.
Right. Just stop it, though.
What about Cool Whip? All right. What do you like better? The Cool Whip in the tub or the Ready Whip in the can?
Well, that's what we're talking about, the Ready Whip.
It's two different flavors. Cool Whip is thicker.
Cool Whip's like the mayonnaise, I think, of it.
Or it could be the Dijonnaise.
You're right. Yeah.
What do you like better?
As a kid, Miracle Whip seemed weird to me.
It's all we grew up on.
Weird fake cheese seemed
it's
weird.
All we
like
grew up
it
on.
All seemed weird to me.
Yeah.
Like all the fake synthesized everything just felt like, why would you do this if you could get a real version of this?
I grew up on Snackwells, on egg beaters, on the Olestra potato chips,
Imperial margarine.
The spray butter.
Oh.
Zero fat Kraft singles, zero calorie bread. Low calorie bread.
Right.
Diet right.
Yeah.
You just reminded me, this is how crazy the times were back when I was a kid. In Philly, there was a company called Charles Chips, and they delivered the chips. They came in a big giant, I'm talking like a tub of potato chips in a can, and you had the Charles Chips delivery guy. Because chips, I guess, were an essential part of any Philadelphian's diet. So we would get them and then we'd deliver it once a week. And then you would leave the empty can out at the end of the week. It was like a milkman.
This is not real. Right.
I swear to God, anybody that's listening out there in the Philadelphia area knows that's older than 35 knows what I'm talking
about. Were these amazing chips?
Then the Charles – no, they're just potato chips. But at the end of the week, it was like you were expected to eat a giant tub of chips because the delivery guy would be back the next week to pick up the empty can and leave a new can of Charles chips.
So what you guys – did you guys – so – we didn't sign up for anything. There was no newspaper delivery. There was no milkman. There was no Charles Chips. There was no – there was the mailman dropped off the Penny Saver catalog. That,
and the past due notices.
Yes. There was no subscription of any kind between my parents and my grandparents and my dad, like three different households. There was no newspaper. There was no – certainly no pool man.
Do you think
no
that
gardener,
was because like, L.A. is so spread out and it's like it's not cost effective?
No, my parents are just so cheap.
Okay, because like I lived in a – I lived on a row home in Philly. So there's literally 200 houses on the block. You know, so they're hit – we had soda delivery, Charles Chips delivery, milkman.
Seems fancy.
Newspapers. Wow. No, it was all cheap. I mean, it was shit. It was all soda
but
and chips.
But your parents signed up for it.
We right? Guys, everybody signed up for it, yeah.
Do you guys remember Schwann's? We definitely had Schwann's deliveries.
Oh, it was like frozen food.
No, it was frozen foods, Schwann's. And we had in the early 80s, my mom get these giant boxes of diet cookies, quote unquote. Mm. These giant, singularly packaged, like muffin tops. Mm. And they were like carob chip cookies. And she would disperse them to her friends. I don't want to get her in trouble. I feel like she made a fake S Corp to get the wholesale discount. This was a big deal in our house.
We should all sue our parents, I think, for various reasons. But, like, what the F? You know, my kids got a Sub-Zero with food just bursting out of it, and they can do whatever, whenever. Yeah. We had so much junk and just so much weirdness. My grandfather would make beef tongue. He'd make a big tongue.
I don't abide by
that.
Why
do kids today seem fatter than we were?
Because it's all processed.
Okay, no, because they don't go out. That's
true.
They're on the phone.
I think it's
the movement, but I swear to God, that seed oil is in every single thing your average 10-year-old in America eats. You cannot avoid that seed oil. Just go look at the Paul Newman's olive oil and balsamic
dressing.
Look at the back. It's canola oils. The first thing's on. It's called olive oil dressing. The first thing's canola oil.
That's fattening for them.
It's just bad for you. It's everywhere. It's on everything. Just like you can't get around it.
I tweeted this picture. Yeah.
The mayonnaise that is the
rapper name.
sorry, mayonnaise. Avocado mayonnaise made with avocado oil, so it's good for you. Canola oil's the first thing. Yes. And also, people, focus on the container. When you get, there's so many people that just go, oh, get the Kraft salad dressing in the plastic squeeze bottle. It's you don't know it's going to be a shit show. You don't know that the weird squeeze.
Yeah.
It's a plastic squeeze bottle.
It's shelf stable.
It's not going to be good. Get a jar.
Okay.
Pay an extra $1.50.
I can't find it, but I tweeted it to Vinny when we were leaving San Diego. We went to Old Town, which is like the Dia de los Muertos festival. It was really cool, and we went to a restaurant, and under the healthy options, it said that all the healthy food was fried in canola oil. Oh, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
They have a separate fryer with canola oil for the healthy options, and the chilaquiles does not have eggs because it's the healthy option.
All right. We're so backwards. I mean, they're saying as opposed to the beef, tallow.
Or right. Olive oil or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. We're fucked up.
I went to the grocery store yesterday, and I saw gummy bears. I saw a big thing of gummy bears in a plastic, and I said, I'll get that. It'll be something I can snack on throughout the week. I ate the whole fucking thing.
Oh,
here's the problem. I take edibles to sleep.
Yeah.
Okay? And it's great. It helps me sleep. I used to be a really horrible sleeper. But part of the problem with taking edibles is I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm high. And I'm like, let me go get some of those gummy bears. And here's what I do. This is the other crazy thing. I go and I get a giant handful of gummy bears. And then I go back to my bedroom. And then I get back in bed and I eat the gummy bears. And then as the handful gets dwindling down, I start to get upset with myself. Why didn't I just grab two handfuls? Then I get back up and I go and repeat and I keep doing it. And then eventually I give up and go, fuck it. And I bring the whole container And I ate an entire – how many calories do you think is an entire giant – like a big
– They vary from animal to animal. They're all bears.
Any worms?
They were. It was lean meat. Yeah, it was lamb.
That was a treat. My grandfather got the Swedish fish once in a while. That fish was a big –
Did you guys have Mr. Bulkies, like those bulk candy things in the mall with the school?
Why does everything you bring up sound like a penis? You're like, did you have a Schwantz? Did you have a Schwantz and a Mr. Bulky?
That's Kansas.
You guys have a throbbing hogs out here?
I love the gummy cherries and the gummy Cokes.
I got it. I try to tell everyone all the time, just don't bring it home. Yeah. Now, the kids will ruin you for that shit, but if you can avoid it, just don't bring it into the house. It's a better existence.
Do you make sure that when your kids were going, like, did you maintain a healthy diet for them?
I tried.
But that you couldn't stop.
There's nothing I could do. No enforcement. If I brought Vinny to the house.
Literally, into the house.
I did everything.
But your kids are in good shape, though, right?
Yeah.
Just Sonny, I saw him at the thing. He looks like he takes care of himself, right?
That's, good genetics. Yeah. But no, I have no – I pay for everything, but I don't get a vote. It's whatever they want all the time.
I love – Dan, there was a fork in the road. I didn't know you were going to go that way. He said, when your hand gets down to the last gummy bear, I'm so mad at myself. I thought you were going to say for eating gummy bears.
No, for not grabbing. More gummy bears.
Donald Trump has a new nickname that's catching on. He's coined all the Sleepy Joes and the Lying Hillaries, and there's a new one. He dubbed Florida Governor Ron DeSantis Ron DeSanctimonious.
Ooh.
It doesn't roll off the tongue, but it is the new one. He debuted that at a rally recently, and Trump's former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo took to Twitter to defend DeSantis soon after. Trump referred to his potential rival as DeSanctimonious because there's a very good chance that they will be running against each other. It could very well happen.
What does DeSantis said they were friends?
Because he ran the ad. He's running an ad. He basically kind of sets himself up as a godlike figure. He said God put him here, essentially, in the new ad.
Oh, DeSantis
did? DeSantis did, so that's where Trump came up with it. Attention guy out there who thinks I'm a moron adjacent guy, trigger warning coming right here. I'm telling you right now, there's zero chance that DeSantis runs against Trump. Zero.
Wow.
He will not run against him. It will ruin his career. So Trump's already firing across the bow, but it's not going to happen. Everybody that thinks there's going to be some big showdown, Trump's going to be the candidate. It's not going to be DeSantis. You heard it here first. Adam Carolla Show. No,
I buy that.
No chance. There's the same playbook happened last time. They said, oh, no, look, he's making up these juvenile nicknames. It's never going to work. It's never, Sleepy or Marco, whatever he called Rubio and Jeb. And crushed them all. They know that'll happen. DeSantis' people know it'll happen. If Trump announces next week, that's the end. You won't hear from DeSantis until 6 years
from now.
So
why doesn't he beg to be his vice president running?
Doesn't want to have anything. He's going to stay out of the way. Mm. That's my prediction. I could be wrong. I don't think I am. I think there's no way because what happened to every one of those other people? They're all done.
You're right.
They're all shattered. They can never win again. He ripped them apart.
Well, speaking of politics, I was sitting around, and they run all the news, Fox, CNN, they're covering all the close races, Mm-hmm. And we got New York, and we got Arizona.
Oz.
And Oz, Pennsylvania, we got this one. And I was, sitting around, they're interviewing the candidates, they're out, hitting the trail and everything. And then I went, man, I it's been going on for a couple of months. And I'm like, man, the whole rest of the country's having an election. And then I was like,
Wait a minute.
We have a gubernatorial. We have an election, too. I've not seen or heard anything because Gavin Newsom is so far ahead that we don't even discuss it. Nope. But then I thought California is 44th in education. It's the highest taxed. Fucked up everyone with COVID, with crazy tyrannical lockdowns. Not a discussion. These other guys are out there peddling their
Who's
asses
even
off.
Running against him? I don't even know.
There's a guy. I mean, what I'm saying is Gretchen Whitmer's over there in Michigan, and she's peddling that bike. I closed schools down only 3 months. It wasn't my idea. Everyone's backing up. Defund the police. Hold on. Oh, no. You didn't hear that from me. Everyone is out there rewriting history. And I'm like, Gavin Newsom hasn't even left the house.
He's better off shutting the fuck up.
It's not even a contest.
No.
But it's it's weird that California is amongst the worst run in terms of homelessness, you know, crime, like education, like whatever those things are, COVID, like whatever. We're close to the bottom on all that. That there's an election coming up and no one's name even comes up.
Bandied about.
It's weird, it is. Isn't it?
In my uneducated view, seems like, in retrospect now, a huge mistake to do the recall because that was thrown together last minute. He won relatively easily. Had they mounted a serious challenge for this election, he might be like teetering
right now.
Gavin Newsom. But instead, he survived the recall, and this is
Brian Dahl's the guy's name.
Stronger than ever.
Can I ask you something? How do we all feel about the prospect of Herschel Walker, U.S. Senator? I don't care what.
That'll be fun.
No, it's entirely likely he's going to win tomorrow.
There was a pastor that his video went viral talking about
that. Oh, I saw that.
It was pretty well said.
We need a runner, not a walker.
He said they picked somebody that they wanted to completely control and manipulate, and they got their guy. And this
he's
got
to be the dumbest guy that's ever run for Senate.
That's racist.
It is not. I mean, you know.
There is a
Marsha Blackburn's dumb. Louis Gohmert's dumb. But
Mazie Hirono, I think, is the dumbest person.
Oh, from Hawaii.
In Washington. Yes, she is one big bag of stupid.
I never heard her talk.
Oh my God, that is a shit show. But there is the guy, can't remember the guy, who thought that Guam was going to tip over if they capsized, they put too many people on it.
Oh boy.
I do kind of remember that.
You remember that
sounds
one?
Sounds like an onion article.
He may give Herschel a run for his money. In the not too bright.
You mean
commercial.
Dumber than bad air? We're sending our good air over there, and they're sending their bad air over here.
Well, we're gonna. You'll find
Hank
it. Hank Johnson.
Huh? My fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize. This is AJC.com. I'm just looking at the headline.
Where was he? Was he a candidate?
Atlanta Journal Constitution.
He wasn't an actual senator, though, was he?
I think he was, or is.
U.S. Representative Hank Johnson.
Oh, representative.
Democrat from Lithonia. I don't know where the. Wherever that is.
We can find the clip, Chris. The thing that's funny is he's talking to an admiral from like the U.S.
Navy,
and they're like, we don't anticipate that.
It's not like a saucer, a lily pad.
It's a clip.
Could an island tip over?
I don't think that's how islands. While he looks for that, can I give a PSA? I went to vote yesterday. Oh, nothing. And can I please say, feel free if you don't know a candidate or if you don't know who the 27th Circuit judge is, skip it. This is the people who are allowed to vote. Talk to picking a coin, just being like, I don't know, this guy. Skip it. If you don't know, I'm happy to skip it.
Yeah.
But we do have an election that matters.
Low information.
Here.
Yes, mayor, and that's why
the mayor
I went.
Election is kind of tight, isn't it?
I went for several things, but not the circuit judges.
Where is that clip, Chris?
We're just queuing it up.
I know it's out there. It's a great. It's not the politician. It's the admiral's response that's the best. Hank Johnson.
A small island, and about 24 miles, if I recall, long. So 24 miles long, about 7 miles wide at the least widest. Place on the island, and about 12 miles wide on the widest part of the island, and I don't know how many square miles that is. Do you happen to know?
I don't have that figure with me, sir. I can certainly supply it to you if you'd like.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
Oh my God!
Oh, that's real.
We don't anticipate that. The Guam population, I think.
Not anticipating that.
Jeez.
We are
it's
in trouble.
Not a floating island.
By the way, that was the same look as that doctor had when Trump was going, yeah, I think I could get the shoot rays in there and bleach. And he looked over, isn't that right? And she was just sitting there like, you know, rubbing her head going,
anticipate that.
I don't think that's going to happen.
All right, let's bring it home, Gina.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. People want to see this. They want to see it because they're going to look at it like a success, even though I'm dog shit at it.
Gina Grad.
That was the news.
All right. Well, speaking of Philadelphia, I'm going to be down there doing four shows. some live pods Ooh. And some stand-up there.
You're hometown-ish.
Is it at the Improv?
Oh, no, sorry, Helium. You're right. Oh,
can I come?
Yeah.
I want to be part of that. I want to be there. I'll bring
a bucket of chips. We'll go down
to Charles Chips.
We'll go down to the old place. Yeah, it's Helium. That'll be January 6th and 7th. And Dallas will be doing Working Blue with John Popper. That'll be January 20th and 21st. And it'll be a fun land cruise. Tucson coming up December 15th at the Rialto Theater, the Improv. Tempe, that'll be a live podcast sent up there. That'll be December 16th, 17th. Dan Dunn, What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn. Always does his homework and shows up prepared. God bless that. Instagram at The Imbiber as well. Lots of good guests coming up, so check that out. Ryan Leaf, what the hell did I do with that? Bust is the name of the podcast. You can check that out. And until next time, it's Adam Kroll for Dan Dunn and Ryan Leaf and Gina Grad and Paul Bryan. Say it. Mahalo.
Love what you do, man, but you're a fucking moron.
Make sure you get your copy of Adam's new book, Everything Reminds Me of Something. Audiobook available, too. Wherever finer books and audiobooks are sold, leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and get everything else at adamcarolla.com.